fair and gallant princes, menacing beasts and enchanting villains. In the end, love conquers all and they live happily ever after. Can real life be like that? Can we own our once upon a time and have it end with a happily ever after? Perhaps, but we face a greater challenge than any storybook character ever did. Forget about dragons and evil queens. We struggle against sin and death. The writer of Hebrews calls on us to throw off sin that so easily entangles. But how do we do that? How do we break sin's spell? How do we slay the beast of death? How do we throw off sin when we are so tangled up in it? The good news is that it is possible. God has made a way. But if we think that the problem of sin is something we can handle on our own, then we're living in a fairy tale.
Testing. Okay, Josh?
And then I said to Sleeping Beauty, it's time to wake up, girl. You need to take care of your life.
You did not say that.
I most certainly did.
And what did Sleeping Beauty say?
She just pretended to fall asleep again.
Thanks again for squeezing me in on such a short notice, Flo.
You're welcome, Cinderella. After all, this is Fairy Tale Beauty Salon. And if I couldn't fit you in, what kind of hairstylist to the fairy tale princesses would I be?
The prince is throwing a ball tonight, and I have to make sure that I look my best. You're a lifesaver.
What a coincidence. My Prince Charming is throwing a ball tonight, too.
Wait a minute, girls. Didn't you just have a ball last night, Snow White?
We have one every night.
So do we.
That's what princesses do in the land of fairy tales.
Believe me, Cinderella, it's a pleasure. You have the most gorgeous hair, not like some princesses I could name.
Like who?
Oh, I really shouldn't say.
Sure, go ahead.
No, I can't. But I will say, stick around, because she might just be my next customer.
Ooh.
Sorry, I'm late, Flo. Couldn't be helped.
Got your hair stuck in the door again?
Yes.
Hi, Snow White.
Hi, Cinderella.
Hi, Rapunzel.
So, what are we going to be doing here today, sweetheart? The usual?
I thought you never cut your hair. What's the usual for you?
Well, I wash her hair, and then I brush it, and I try to get all these tangles out. After about 7 hours, we usually give up and call it a day. Well, let's get started.
Oh, I want something new today, Flo.
Not the usual?
Nope, I'm tired of my hair always getting tangled up and being a mess. I've decided to cut my hair.
Are you sure that's what you want to do, Rapunzel, honey?
Oh, yes. No more tangles. I want you to cut it short, like right here.
Oh, that's a big step, but if you're sure...
Now I'll never have to worry about my hair getting tangled again.
Well, what do you mean by that, honey?
Well, once you cut my hair, I won't have to worry about it getting tangled again.
You do know that hair grows back, right?
Flo can cut your hair today, but it immediately starts growing again.
It does?
Yep.
Why, sure. Eventually it'll grow back.
It's a lot like sin in that way.
What do you mean?
We humans are all mixed up in sin. No matter what we try to do, it gets all tangled up. Even when we try to cut the bad stuff out of our lives, it still grows back. The only way to get untangled from sin is to let Jesus into your life. And the only way to get this hair to stay tangled... is to...
Well, forget it then. I'll just keep my long hair. If it's just going to grow back anyway. Besides, I'm...
Rapunzel, haven't you ever heard of a ladder?
Testing? Yes. We've gotten tangled up in sin. Sometimes we get ourselves into thinking we can control it. If I cut back in this area, work a little harder in this area, I'll be fine. But it can't be done, as the Apostle Paul illustrates from his own life. Sin is controllable. Instead, when we are tangled up in sin, it controls us.
We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is, it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it.
One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. Word became flesh and the light shined among us. His glory revealed. Living he loved me. Dying he saved me. Buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on a tree. Suffering anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. Hands that healed nations, stretched out on a tree, and took the nails for me. Living he loved me, dying he saved me. Buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. The grave could conceal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Now he's a soul over death he had conquered. Now he's ascended, my Lord, evermore. Death could not hold him. The grave could not keep him from rising again. Living he loved me, dying he saved me. Buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, glorious day. One day the trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the skies with his
today, my beloved one bringing. My Savior Jesus is mine. Living, He loves me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away. Rising, He justified freely forever. One day He's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious
The Father loved the world and wanted to save it from sin and death. He sent His Son, Jesus, to earth to suffer the death that we deserve to die. Jesus knew that His time of death was near. He tried to communicate what was happening to His disciples, but they would not understand it. Peter, in typical Peter fashion, tried to take control, but as we see, he was powerless to change the situation.
Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "Truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. "You also were with Jesus of Galilee," she said. But he denied it before them all. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Then he went out to the gateway, where another servant girl saw him, and said to the people there, "This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth." He denied it again with an oath, "I don't know the man." After a little while, those standing there went to Peter and said, "Surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away." Then he began to call down curses, and he swore to them, "I don't know the man." Immediately a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, "Before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and wept bitterly.
Did I tell you what happened to me this morning?
No.
Well, I had an ogre come to my shop wanting me to do his hair.
Oh, my, did you do it?
Well, no.
Why not?
Well, as I pointed out, he was an ogre. He didn't have any hair. As the official hairstylist of Fairyland Tales here, I can work some magic on hair, but I have to have hair to work with. Crazy things like this are happening all around here all the time. Why, just 1 week...
You haven't lost count, have you, Flo?
No, Rapunzel, dear. I haven't lost count.
I just wouldn't want you to lose count with all of these stories.
What would you like me to count out loud, then?
That would be great.
927, 928, 929...
You should start with Snow White. His is an especially big mess.
Sorry, ladies. 932. I'm working on Rapunzel's hair here right now, and I'm only up to 932, 33.
My My goodness, you brush Rapunzel's hair 900 times?
1,000.
1,004, actually, per section.
Per section?
My hair gets tangled up easily, so I've created a system to combat it. You know, my hair gets divided into 39 sections, and each section gets brushed through exactly 1,004 times.
How long does that take?
Not as long as the second phase, where Flo uses the comb and brushes each of those 39 sections, divided into 7 more sections, 1,109 times.
That's quite a complicated system.
These rules are necessary to counteract all of these terrible tangles.
I guess these rules are worth all the effort to follow if it works. So it does a good job of eliminating the tangles?
Oh, no, not really. My hair never seems to not tangle.
Then why do you still follow these ridiculous rules?
Well, it's very simple, you see.
Well,
Flo, can you help me out here?
I've always looked at hair being like a lot like sin. I've told you over and over. It's a lot like sin.
What do you mean?
Well, we humans are all mixed up in sin. No matter how we try, it all gets tangled up. We come up with all kinds of ways to try to combat it. We create these elaborate rules about how many times to brush it or what time of the day to wash it. But in the end, we're not any less tangled up. Instead, we're a slave not only to sin, but to a bunch of crazy rules, too.
So then what's the answer?
Hang on, let me think about it. If we're talking about sin, the only way to get untangled is to let Jesus into your life. And if we're talking about hair, the only way to get untangled is to use...
You're right, Flo. Never mind. Stop brushing. It's not getting us anywhere. Why don't I let you take care of Snow White and Cinderella?
Why, thank you, dear.
That's
no
very
problem.
Kind of you.
Seems like she's done a lot of work, too.
Rules. That's what we need. Rules. If we create the perfect set of rules and then follow it to the letter, then we will have freedom. Sin will no longer have us all tangled up. But as Paul again shows us, rules won't save us, even if it were possible to follow them all the time.
What shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. Nevertheless, I would not have known what sin was had it not been for the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, "You shall not covet." But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of coveting. For apart from the law, sin was dead. Once I was alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin sprang in my life and I died. I found that the very commandment that had intended to bring life actually brought death. For sin, seizing that opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me, and through the commandment put me to death. So then, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, righteous and good. Did that which is good then become death to me? By no means. Nevertheless, in order that sin might be recognized as sin, it used what is good to bring about my death, so that through the commandment, sin might become utterly sin.
Thank you.
unstoppable. And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand us? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God.
Jesus was arrested and stood trial, first in the house of the high priest, then before Pilate, then Herod, then Pilate again. When we hear the word trial, we think of justice, law, rules. These things are meant to protect us, to save us. There was no justice for Jesus that day, but through his suffering, he provided the way for our salvation.
Then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, "We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Messiah, a king." So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "You have said so," Jesus replied. Then Pilate announced to the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." But they insisted, "He stirs up the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee, and has come all the way here." On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased, because for a long time he had been wanting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform a sign of some sort. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there, vehemently accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him. Dressing him in an elegant robe, they sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us, as you can see. He has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him." But the whole crowd shouted, "Away with this man. Release Barabbas to us." Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" For the third time he spoke to them, "Why? What crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I will have him punished and then release him." But with loud shouts, they insistently demanded that he be crucified. and their shouts prevailed.
When you come to the fairy tale salon, you get service, my dear. You know, that's my motto.
My motto is never throw away a pumpkin. You may be able to drive it to a ball someday.
My motto is, if you ever live in a forest, bring earplugs because dwarves snore.
Those are some interesting mottos, princesses. What special occasion are we preparing for tonight?
A ball.
A ball.
Don't you ever get tired of those?
What do you mean?
I don't understand the question.
Never mind. Never mind. I'm just finishing up with Snow White here, honey. Have a seat.
Well, that's okay. I'll stand. Thanks. Remember, if I sit, my hair might hit the floor. Have you wrapped your hair in plastic, Rapunzel?
Yes. It's my latest attempt to keep my hair untangled.
Where does the plastic come in? Like a person?
Yeah. So I'm going to be good with my hair now. And I'm not going to let it touch the ground. And I wrapped it in plastic so that it won't be damaged by the sun or the elements. I'm going to make sure that I come in and get my hair shampooed regularly.
How regularly?
Three times a day?
You think that's not enough? Should I do four? Maybe that would be gooder.
I don't think gooder is a word.
I don't think carrying your plastic-wrapped hair around to get shampooed four times a day is going to stop it from getting tangled.
Really? Well, what do you think, Flo?
I think hair is a lot like sin, like I've told you over and over.
I've never carried my sin around in a plastic bag before.
We humans get all mixed up in sin, no matter how we try to do it. It gets tangled up. So we decided we're going to just be good. We think we're going to take care of it. But the problem is, no matter how hard we try, we don't have the strength to be good all the time.
That's true. I got my hair 6 times on the way over here.
Besides, being good, whatever that means, doesn't do anything to take away the bad stuff that you've done. No, the only way to get untangled from sin is to let Jesus into your life. And the only way to get that hair of yours to stay untangled...
You're right.
No, wait, Rapunzel, come back. It's not the end of the story.
She gone.
So what is the end of the story?
We'll just have to wait and find out.
Good people go to heaven. That's a lie that so many of us have bought into. Just be a good person and it'll all work out. Life is a balance scale. If you can just manage to have more on the good end of the balance than on the evil end, you're doing pretty okay for yourself. But okay isn't good enough. Okay doesn't free us. Okay doesn't deliver us from the punishment of sin. Okay does not give us a new life in Christ. Okay is not good enough.
So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you.
way stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left His glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous the beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then He'll call me someday to my home far away, where His glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
You may be seated.
Our goodness cannot save us from sin and death. That's because at the heart of it, none of us are good. Jesus was good, but He was not spared death. He willingly suffered the death that each of us deserve. His sacrifice provided the way for us to be rescued from sin and to enjoy fellowship with God.
As the soldiers led Him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children, for the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the childless women, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if people do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with his loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he said this, he breathed his last.
What about your light blue gown? It looks so good on you. I feel like that one just screams Cinderella.
Ariel asked to not borrow the light blue one.
And you said she could use it?
Yes. Why? Should I not have?
I'm sure it will be fine. It's just, I lent her an apple red dress last month.
And she never brought it back?
She brought it back, soaking wet. I swear, half the time that Ariel still thinks she's the Little Mermaid. You're being awfully quiet, Flo.
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess my mind is just somewhere else.
What's wrong, Flo?
Have you princesses seen Rapunzel lately?
No.
No, is she okay?
That's just it. I don't know. I haven't seen her in a week. Used to be she'd come in here at least once a day for a brushing or a shampooing or something. I hope she's all right.
I'm sure she's fine.
Speaking of which, I think I see her coming right now.
Oh, my goodness, Rapunzel, are you all right?
Yeah, I found this hairpin and I thought I'd return it to you.
Well, can I brush your hair for you today? You look like you could use a wash, too.
No, that's okay.
Well, at least sit down for a moment, dear.
You don't look so hot, Rapunzel.
Is everything okay?
Are you sure you wouldn't like a nice long shampoo?
I've given up, ladies.
Well, what do you mean?
My hair. I've given up. Fought the tangles, and the tangles won.
Well, I think I have something that will help. You know, this little stuff here,
It's like you're always saying, Flo. Hair is a lot like sin.
no matter what you do, sin gets all tangled up.
Well, yes, but...
we try to cut sin away, but it always grows back. We try to follow the rules, but it doesn't stop the sin. We can strive to be good, but that doesn't work either.
Those are all good points, Rapunzel.
And my hair, it's the same way. It's so hopeless.
Now, that's where you're wrong, Rapunzel.
What? How can that be?
Now, we can't get untangled from our sin on our own strength or power. But if we let Jesus into our lives, He will get us untangled. God loved us so much that He sent His Son to earth for us. Jesus died for our sins, and He rose from the dead in power. Jesus is able to forgive our sins and get us untangled.
Amazing.
That's some pretty good news.
And as far as hair's concerned, we can take care of those tangles if we just add a little bit of my secret little untangler to your hair.
Untangle conditioner?
Guaranteed to do the trick.
Well, let's give it a try.
Sounds good.
But wait, I come in here almost every day. Why didn't you mention this untangled conditioner before?
I try. You keep interrupting me when I'm talking.
Sorry, it's a bad habit.
At least you don't return ball gowns to people soaking wet.
Oh, Snow White, you're terrible.
Oh, silly girls.
Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings in order that we may also share in His glory. Romans 8, 1-4 and 14-17.
Let's stand again and let's sing together. Christ the Lord is risen today. Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Sons of men and angels say, Alleluia. Raise your joys and triumph sigh, Alleluia. Sing, O heavens and earth, reply, Alleluia. Lives again our glorious King, Alleluia. Where, O death, is now your sting, Alleluia. But the fight, the battle won, Alleluia. Death in vain forbids Him rise, Alleluia. Christ has opened paradise, Alleluia.
me now where Christ has led. Alleluia. All wing our exalted head. Alleluia. Made like him we rise. Alleluia. As the cross, the grave, the skies. Alleluia.
You may be seated.
We cannot control sin. We cannot follow the rules well enough to be free of its power. We cannot be good enough to overcome death. Our only hope is to turn to the one who lives a life without sin and who has overcome death for us.
On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified on the third day, be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Luke 24:1-12 and 36-48.
We've been tangled up in sin, and we're powerless to free ourselves. But there is one who can free us, Jesus Christ. Through his death, he put to death the power of sin. And through his resurrection, he has captured death. Now we can find forgiveness for our sins. We can find victory over our sins. We can experience life with God, and we can be called children of God. That's a pretty good happily ever after.
I walk condemned in darkness.
mercy brought new life. And in your love and kindness raised me up with Christ and made me righteous. You have brought me back with the riches of your amazing grace and relentless love. I'm alive forever, a new life forever. By your grace I'm saved. Lord, you are the light that broke the darkness. Satisfy my soul when I am heartless. If ever I forget my true identity, show me who I am and help me to believe. You have brought me back with the riches of your amazing grace and relentless love. I'm made alive forever with your life, forever by your grace I'm saved. My sin has been erased, I'll never be the same. My sin has been erased, never be the same. You have brought me back with the riches of your amazing grace and relentless love. I'm made alive forever with you, life forever by your grace I'm saved. You have brought me back with the riches of your amazing grace and relentless love. I'm made alive forever with you, life forever by your grace I'm saved. You have brought me back with the riches of your amazing grace and relentless love. I'm made alive forever with you, life forever by your grace I'm saved. Never be the same. My sin has been erased. I'll never be the same.
Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you to everybody who participated in that wonderful message. Wonderful grace, isn't it? And how many of us here have felt the effects of that tangling of sin? And how many of us have struggled and striven and driven ourselves crazy trying to be better in our own strength? And the wonderful message is, it's all about surrendering and just turning our lives over to Christ. And really, that is the only solution. And if we will do that and rest in Him, in fact, that's the only way to please God, is to walk by faith, to walk by trust, and to turn it over to Him. And if we'll do that, first of all the tangles, so what? They've been forgiven. They've been forgiven. And Christ all of a sudden can use something so much better than conditioner. Through the Holy Spirit, He can truly do a work of creating in us, recreating in us, the image of God in all His beauty. That's the message. So I just wanted to make sure it sinks in. That's the wonderful, wonderful grace and love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together.